Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hi, I'm Grant Wall, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast, where I go in-depth with the most intriguing people in the world of soccer. In this episode, I'm joined by Colin Martin of Minnesota United. Martin came out last year and is currently the only out player in any of the five major U.S. men's pro sports leagues. Just a quick reminder, it's a huge help if you subscribe to, rate, and review the podcast. It helps people find us. Onward! Our guest today is Colin Martin, a Minnesota United midfielder and sixth-year MLS pro. He made global news last June when he came out as gay, and he's currently the only player who's out in any of the U.S.'s five major men's sports leagues. His Minnesota United team opens its MLS regular season on March 2nd at Vancouver and opens its beautiful new stadium, Allianz Field, on April 13th. Colin, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Lots to talk about here. We're out here in Los Angeles for MLS Media Day. We're recording this on January 18th. Just yesterday, you appeared on James Corden's nationally televised talk show, and you killed it, man. Like, I watched the whole thing, all 13 minutes of the segment. You played a game called Late Late Live Tinder, which I'll just tell people, you know, go to Google and Google it if you haven't seen it. You even had, like, comedic timing on a couple of occasions. Have you always been that good in front of a camera?
I've had some practice over the past couple years. James helped me through a lot of it. He kind of, at points, he was pulling me over here, letting me know where the camera was. But no, I was going off him, and it was more reactionary, so it wasn't too bad. Some of the speaking engagements have helped, but I wasn't as nervous as doing some of the stuff I've done recently, but it went well. It was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, you look like a natural on it. Like, what are some of those speaking engagements you've done recently?
So one of the big first ones I did since coming out was I spoke to a bunch of UCLA and USC students for Athlete Ally, and that was with Jamel Hill was hosting a panel. Nice. Jay Williams was there, and the students were, that was a little tough crowd. Huh. Especially to kind of, you know how college students are, they can only be interested about maybe so many things. But so that was one of the first ones, and then I spoke at the Human Rights Campaign dinner in Minneapolis, which is, I think it's like the second biggest one besides DC that they do. So that was exciting for me. I was nervous, but
how many people was it?
There was I think around like 4,000.
Oh wow.
I don't know exactly for sure, but there was a ton of tables, and it was in the convention center, and so that was a big one. But
so, have you gotten any reaction in the last 24 hours, whether it's you or your agent, to going on this big national TV show?
What, like the next opportunity since?
I can envision some people, like maybe not even soccer people, seeing you know, how well you handle yourself and just how well the whole thing came off and being like, I had no idea who this guy was, and now I'm kind of interested in him.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I have an agent, of course, Dan Siegel. I don't know. He's a relatively big agent in our league, and he's been he leaves me alone. You know, he's my soccer guy. So a lot of this stuff I've done over the past 6 months, just like by myself, like people reaching out through our public relations guy with the team. But like he leaves me alone. So like really, if the only stuff we talk about is soccer related. Mm-hmm. But I think if I really wanted to take another step with it, I think I would have to maybe like hire a publicist, hire someone that like that would really, I guess, engage with people about it. But obviously, preseason's around the corner. Soccer's a big focus for me this year. So,
what did stand out to you about this whole experience on national TV?
About the James Corden show, or nothing in particular. it's nice that it felt pretty natural.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel like I was pushing an agenda or anything. Like our country's pretty used to gay people in media and on TV, not so much maybe in sport, but so I felt like it was pretty natural and normal, you know. There wasn't mm-hmm. it was just like, all right, there's another person up there for Celebrity Tinder. No, it was fun.
Let's see, what else do I have here in terms of, let's go back to last June 29th.
Okay.
That was the day you came out publicly. It was also the same day Minnesota United was having its Pride Night mm-hmm. in a game. What led to your decision to do this and to do it on that day?
Yeah, so it all kind of happened pretty fast. So little bit of a long story for you, not too long.
But, we got time.
so that month during Pride Month, I think it was June, no? Or you said July? See, I don't even remember the date.
Yeah, June 29th.
So June is Pride Month. Okay, we got that down. But I was doing a Playing for Pride initiative. And so actually Austin DeLuze from North Carolina FC started it last year. And basically it guys around the league in the USL, a lot of guys in the MLS and then the NWSL as well, were pledging their support for the LGBTQ community and pledging their money as well. Hmm. So for a start in a game that month, you'd pledge maybe, I don't know, $10, $15. If you scored a goal, maybe $20. So, I mean, he had all these guys raising money, and basically a journalist that was interested, she asked why I was playing for Pride. Mm-hmm. And I didn't give her a straight-up answer. You know, I was like, you know, the LGBTQ community is important to me, and I want to support them. And I didn't give her a real reason why I was actually proud, you know? And so I was proud that like guys around the league, like Sasha Kleshchen, were taking and using their platform and speaking up for people that feel like they don't have a voice or that feel like they don't have a place in sport. So mm-hmm. for me, I wanted to show that I've been supported in the league, that I've been supported throughout my soccer career, and just show a positive story. So I wanted to come out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And lead me through that day.
Yeah, so I really decided like a couple days before the game.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, I think I wouldn't have done it on a game day.
Huh.
Maybe that's why I didn't get subbed on or play. But it was a crazy day because in the morning I put the tweet out. The tweet went viral. Like it was crazy. I had no idea that it was going to get that much attention. And then I did like two major interviews. I did an interview with NBC local, and I did an NBC one that was gonna be broadcast on the nightly news.
Oh, wow.
So I had to do that in the morning, went home, had to kind of digest and get prepared for the game at night, and then obviously played at the game at night. But it was a crazy day, but I don't think I would have changed too much. But maybe not on a game day, I wouldn't have made the decision next time, but there's no next time. So
well, I mean, the response was very positive. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that you actually had someone tell you that they were at the game that night, a guy with a kid with his parents.
Yeah.
And just he came out to his parents that night?
That day, yeah. Because so he saw my tweet in the morning or Instagram, and then he felt compelled that day. I think he was a high schooler. He felt compelled to tell his parents either before the game or at the game that he was gay as well. Which was pretty crazy. That was wild to hear. And I've had examples of that just within the Minnesota community. Like I'd say a handful more of those instances, and some sad ones too. Like a younger kid that felt like he had to quit his team because he didn't feel that basically soccer was a sport for him or sports in general.
Hmm.
But that he told his mom that it meant a lot to him to have me be an example for him that it was okay. But so yeah, those messages, those instances have been why I feel really glad that I did do it. So
yeah, now I can only imagine mm-hmm. how powerful that is.
Yeah.
Let's see. When did you first become aware that you were gay, and what was your process in deciding to come out privately to your friends and family?
So that's always a tough one to answer, like when exactly, but I'd say I started to kind of know in like early elementary school, but really begin to kind of like take it all into consideration and understand my place. I really know that I was gay, probably not until like middle school, high school. But that period was really hard for me, actually, especially in soccer, because I just felt, I felt like at that point I still maybe didn't, couldn't be out. And then I still maybe have to marry a girl. And I still was unsure of how my parents would take it. And so there was definitely a big learning period through high school. And I wish I would have been more comfortable basically with my sexuality then. I think it would have been, because I was always a confident kid, but that was something that really took me a while, you know. It took a while for my relationship with my parents to grow. And since I came out with to them, it's been just like night and day with that, because they feel like there's been a weight off my shoulders, and they can understand me more. But no, I told my best friends first, my siblings, my parents are the last people I told. And I even told some teammates before my parents. And then when I told my parents, then I really started to tell some more teammates. But
I mean, just a quick personal story here. Yeah. I remember when my dad told me, my brother Eric is a huge Seattle Sounders fan. And I remember my dad said to me, Grant, we wanted to tell you that your brother is gay. And and I'm like, yeah, I've known that for years, Dad.
Like, your brother told you first, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know. So.
Oh, and your parents assumed that you didn't know?
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I know my parents were kind of upset that they were the last, but I reassured them that it was because they meant the most to me. And and so they understood that. But yeah, I guess you tell different people at different rates, and that's just how it goes. But
and some of your teammates with Minnesota United knew before you announced.
So I started to really feel pretty good about myself. I had a boyfriend while in DC. My last season, so my fourth season in DC was real tough for me, because I had a good preseason. I had some injuries before. I was like, you know, this is a big year. I mean, if you want to stay in DC with where you've been a homegrown, you haven't established yourself at all. You need to show that you deserve to be in this league. Anyways, I had a good preseason, but then I broke my foot, and so during that period, I was lucky enough to. One of the positives was I was able to meet my first boyfriend, and my only boyfriend at this point. But basically, our relationship really helped me become more comfortable. And so I introduced him to a bunch of different teammates at the time, like Steve Birnbaum, Chris Pontius. So, and the first team I told was Chris Rolfe, actually. But so I started to really get comfortable with some of my teammates telling them that. But then, and I told my parents around that time, but moving to Minnesota was like a huge weight off my shoulder, because I was living alive in DC a little bit, where we just, because I'm a very honest person, and I feel like I got to know my teammates pretty well, but they didn't know this side of me. So in Minnesota, I tried to just be completely honest when I got traded there, and I brought my boyfriend to team events. And I just wasn't hiding it. And so there was never a point where I had to sit down and tell my teammates, or tell the coaching staff, or tell the front office. It was a very natural progression of just how any type of news goes around a club, and how any type of news filters around a locker room. So
I mean, it's interesting that the phrase locker room talk certainly has taken on a meaning, especially in the last couple of years. It became a big thing in the 2016 election. I take it sometimes, depending on where you hear it, to mean guys in particular feeling like they can say things that aren't PC, as they would put it, or are just downright hateful.
Yeah.
And awful.
Yeah.
Like, how have you experienced anything over the years in a locker room like that?
Well, the really cool thing about the MLS is how diverse it is. And that's what I've loved about soccer. Not the MLS, but my teams growing up. I went to Wake Forest. Wake Forest is a very white school. But luckily, you're on a soccer team and you have buddies from all over, all different races, all different countries. And that's what I love about soccer. And so that hasn't changed in the MLS. There's guys from different that have different religions, different backgrounds, from different countries. And so, you know, you can find peace in that, that everyone's story is different, that mm-hmm. you guys have that all your teammates have learned at different rates. They've had different experiences based on their family backgrounds. And so for me, when I have maybe had a teammate that's felt indifferent or just have not, isn't as comfortable with the idea of having a gay person or having a gay teammate or a gay friend, you know, that's a place for me to not work on it, but like just be a positive example for him. And be able to answer questions that are might be hard for him to understand. So part of me being open and able to engage with some of my teammates or just people that have different views than you in general, I think it's really important. But to be honest, I haven't had a problem at all in either locker room, DC or Minnesota. I think I'm very fortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, to be able to answer those questions.
So you get
simple
questions.
Yeah, yeah, because guys are interested.
Yeah.
And they've been amazing with me. I mean, they want to know just like I want to know how their date went, they want to know how my date went. They want to know, one of the big questions is they want to know if I want to have a family and what that would look like. Because mm-hmm. for them, that's like mind blown. They're like, how can a gay dude have a family?
It's
like,
what do you tell them?
There's different ways. Well, there's different ways. I tell them I don't know myself yet. I don't have I'm not in a relationship. I don't know what that would look like, but I explain the different ways, adoption, in vitro, the different ways you can do it.
Yeah.
But who pays for a date? Yeah, what guy pays for a date? You split the first date. Yeah, you don't have to.
Okay.
Or someone can treat. You know, there's no right way to do it.
Yeah.
But so they've been good with me, and I'm pretty open and an open book for them. So
nice. How have opposing fans been so far in MLS?
I've had no problems. I'm trying to think if I've had many like much dialogue about it. Obviously there's been like gay fans from other teams that have followed me and have reached out for sure.
Yeah.
I've had no negative experiences.
That's great.
Yeah. And then some guys on other teams, especially during that first couple weeks, came up to me and just were like, hey, it's really awesome what you did. Like it's really brave. And so that meeting those guys and just on random instances that meant a lot. So
do you think there is something that makes this a slightly an easier thing to experience in soccer, in a pro soccer environment, than in a maybe another sport?
Well, that's tough to say. I think it's going to have its challenges in any sport. But I mean, if you look at it based on different leagues around the around the world, it's clear that there's differences. And I think it'd be a lot harder for a guy to come out in La Liga than in the MLS at this point, because that's what I've heard. I did one of the cool things last year during the World Cup was they were doing the same team initiative. And so they had what they did was they knitted this jersey of all the different teams in the World Cup, and they made a rainbow jersey. Mm-hmm. And basically they were kind of trying to fight against the homophobia in Russia. And they just were trying to bring to light the fact that there's gay people in sport and soccer. And so Pele was one of the first to have to get a jersey, and he was wearing it. And so that stuff obviously goes a long way. But so the people that actually started the initiative, one was from Spain, one was from England, they were explaining that they know of gay players that have tried to come out in those leagues, in La Liga and in the Premier League and in La Liga in general, and in particular the front office in the clubs, they've told these players not to come out based on the sponsorships, based on the sentiments of the fans. And so my experience in MLS has been not like that at all. And I think it goes to show that this league is different and it's special. So
I mean, we are out here in LA right now. This is where Robbie Rogers played. Robbie before you, I think, was the only out player in the league. And you know, he's retired from soccer, but is a successful TV producer now.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any direct contact with him, or have you, what have you observed from how he went about doing all the things he did?
Yeah, I observed from afar in the beginning. I used to ask my DC teammates, how was he as a person? Kind of just because I wanted to hear them just answer or tell me honest things about him as a person, a player, not about his sexuality. So obviously, like it would be important for me to just to hear them talk about him as a person and not yeah. worry about his sexuality. And because they either were friends with him or they had played on in Columbus with him, wherever they played with him in the league. But so I admired also how LA dealt with his coming out and how they supported him. So the team and yeah. and just more importantly, how, because I think I remember when he first came back into playing, I think he struggled a little bit. And
you were tired when he first made his announcement.
He was out of the game. Yeah. So
he said, "I'm done."
Yeah.
And then he came back.
And he came back. So when he came back, though, I think he struggled to get back to where he probably would have liked it to mm-hmm. be. And then he had a really good run of form, and mm-hmm. I think he started a bunch of games. And so for me, I just took, like, it's all about how you can play, and, like, you need to worry about how you can play, how you can be a contributor in this league. And so for a while I was like, okay, you're not going to come out until you're an all-star, or you're playing every game. And unfortunately that just hasn't happened for me yet. And I've been able to have solace with it and be comfortable with where I'm at. But yeah, basically Robbie was a good player, and that's what I took from it. That yeah. not only was he a good player, but he was supported by the league, and that's what I want to try to do. So
are you surprised that in the year 2019 you're still the only out player in one of the top five men's leagues in the U.S.?
for sure. Yeah, I thought at this point there'd be a couple more examples so that I wouldn't have even had to have a public announcement. Yeah. That's kind of how I felt after Robbie came out. I was like, okay, he's done it, I don't need to do this. There's been Jason Collins, but since then it's been like 5 years or so, and there's no one really else has done it. So there's a lot more improvements on that to be made. And I hope in like 2 or 3 years that really we won't be having this conversation.
I was wondering how soon you thought it might be before this wasn't news.
I mean, it's crazy. No one, let's just put it this way. No one's reached out to me to be like, hey, I'm in the closet, but either confiding in me or like, looking forward to coming out or something. I don't know, but I didn't reach out to Robbie, so it's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. But it could be a lot longer. Honestly, I know cultures are kind of the culture's changed, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Maybe this presidency is that's not maybe helping yeah. the climate. And
I can't imagine that it is.
So it's honestly hard to tell. I like to be optimistic about it, but who knows?
Yeah. You started 5 games last season for Minnesota. The team ended up missing the playoffs. What are your goals for the season ahead, both team-wise and personally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I feel like I haven't had like a breakout year necessarily. These past 2 years, I've been healthy. I finally played enough where I feel like I can make an impact, and I know. What I can bring to the team, in terms of the team, I feel like we have to try to make playoffs. I think there's legitimate pressure on our team, not only with the players. I mean, I feel personal pressure more so than I ever have in my career. But with the front office and with the coaching staff, there's pressure, and I think that can only be good. I mean, of course, like you know, the best teams have competition. And I feel like we've lacked that. We've lacked competition. We've lacked depth
internally.
Yeah. We in terms of training, in terms of just having enough quality guys that are pushing the guys that are playing every week. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 seasons, the guys that have played have, for the most part, kept their spots, and they've known they're going to play, even though there's been a lot of turnover. But I think we can finally this year look for a core group of guys that are really going to push the team along. And so I like our chances. So I think we need to definitely push for a playoff spot. So
like, in terms of this new stadium, it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen it firsthand,
yeah,
but like everything I've seen is pretty impressive. What are your impressions?
It's incredible. Yeah, I haven't seen the grass laid down, and I haven't been in it since we did a tour back, I think, early fall last year when there was like dirt and the foundation was pretty much laid in. But from the light show, from the actual pictures, no renderings,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty incredible. And I missed out on a stadium in D.C. that I was looking forward to playing in. So this year I think it's going to be really special. And I know stadiums can push teams forward in a way. I mean, I saw it with D.C. last year. But so I think, I hope our play is going to improve regardless of the stadium. But I think it'll be something that'll push us along, and our fans are going to be, I mean, they're so deserving of the stadium, and so they'll be there regardless. And so, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
What have you learned about, because you're not from Minnesota, what have you learned about the soccer culture there?
Well, it's interesting. Coming from D.C., you're told the DMV is, well, they lead the NBC ratings for the most part in terms of viewership in the Premier League, but right. I didn't get to see the stadium packed at RFK like I've seen in Minnesota, you know. And yeah, obviously there's an amazing community in DC, but I think it's been hard to have that love for soccer but not really seen it invested in the club. And so in Minnesota, it's been, I had no idea that there was this many fans, and I think they really care. And I mean, like you've seen this week, that they have a say in kind of how the club does things in a way, you know. And I think that's important. And I didn't see that necessarily in my time in D.C. I mean, we had 50,000 plus for our last home game last year, and I wish our new stadium was a little bigger.
Yeah,
because we could sell out a bigger stadium. But we'll sell out every game next year, and that's gonna be incredible to see.
That's pretty cool. In a big picture sense, you have this platform now that you didn't have before you made your announcement. Mm-hmm. How are you hoping to use that platform that you have now?
Yeah, it's a hard question, because a lot of the stuff I've done has just been kind of okay, done that, on to the next thing. But so I haven't planned out a lot. Like, this wasn't like a master plan here. Like, I'm gonna come out and then I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna go do that. So I'm really just taking it as it is. Genuinely, my focus is on playing this year, and soccer is how I make my profession, and this is a big year for me. So I want to leave nothing left on the field, and I want to make sure there's nothing that I'm not doing that I can give myself a best chance, because I feel like I've learned stuff each season. I mean, it's crazy that next year will be my seventh year in the league.
Yeah,
just wild. And so and I feel personally that I don't have a lot to show for it, even though I've made a lot of personal growth in different ways. But in terms of on the field, I really want to just give it my all. And obviously you can't control everything, but I just want to take everything I've learned. But and the stuff off the field, it'll be there. I don't know whether it's learning more about politics in Minnesota or in general. That stuff has been interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I finished my degree, so I need to be able to engage myself intellectually somehow this year. And you have plenty of time to do that, being a soccer player. So,
well, based on what I saw on national TV last night, someday, if you want to be involved in TV or something like that, I think you could do that.
I don't know. That's very nice of you. We'll see. I don't know. My parents aren't so sure of it all, but they'll be happy when I keep their names out of my mouth when I'm doing an interview next. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Well, very cool. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk, and thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Yeah, look forward to another season of MLS. It'll be fun.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Colin Martin, as well as everyone at Cadence 13 and Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Please, if you like the pod, tell your friends, subscribe, like, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help the cause if you do. And check out the 30-minute Planet Football video show hosted by me and Luis Miguel Echegaray on SITV. That's available on SI.TV, Amazon Channels, and FuboTV. See you next time.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.